Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins. Listen live as we discuss the Punch TV Studios IPO 2.0, funding for your film, acting in film and television, new affiliate stations, and all things Punch TV Studios. Meet the stars of your favorite Punch TV Studios film and television shows and find out how you can be a part of the company that is revolutionizing media. Call 657-383-1974 and join in on the conversation. And now your host, Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And thank you for joining us on this TGIF Friday's episode of Changing the Conversation. I am your co-host, Sharifa Hardy, and as always, we are going to have an amazing show. We have been bringing the best guests out there this week. We have been live in Charlottesville, Virginia this week. We have had our representatives, A Bottle of Youth and A Bottle of Youth for Me, on the ground in Charlottesville, Virginia. We have had guests on discussing changing our youth and what we can do in the educational system. And today's guest is going to be no different. Our guest today is amazing. But before we go too much further, I just want to invite everyone to post the show, tweet the show. If you're listening to the show on the line and you want to join the conversation in the Punch Bowl, feel free. Ask your questions, make your comments, press 1 so that we know you want to join the conversation and not just listen to the show live. Now, if you're listening to this show on your computer and you want to join the conversation, feel free, give us a call, 657-383-1974. Again, that number is 657-383-1974. And make sure to press 1 to join the conversation in the Punch Bowl. So do we have A Bottle of Youth and A Bottle of Youth for Me on the line this morning?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we are.
Thank you for joining us. We've had an amazing week. What do you guys think? How are we doing this week?
Oh, we're doing great. We've had a ball this week, and we can only look forward to next week's show.
It's been quite interesting talking about racism this week and all the different occurrences around the country and the movement that has taken place since the incident and tragedy in Charlottesville. I'm glad to see that the conversation has started. I hope we can keep the conversation going and push the open media, Fox News, and everybody else to have this same conversation. And maybe we can actually come to a resolve this time instead of letting history repeat itself.
Yes, we're going to continue the conversation. Our CEO, Mr. Joseph Collins, is going to be live on the air with the radio station in Charlottesville on Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And he's calling, he's placed a call for peace. That's what our CEO is interested in. So can you tell us a little bit more about that station in Charlottesville, Virginia?
Yes, that's 101.3 Jams. It's the black station there in Charlottesville. That's what all the residents listen to. I was actually told by someone working at a register in the store that if I really wanted to get in contact with the black community, to make sure I contacted that show. And so I did. And they were, nice enough to give us a shout out on the air as everything was going on in Charlottesville, letting everyone know about the show coming up on Sunday. So I can't wait. And that show is called, In My Humble Opinion.
Yeah, so we're going to have our CEO, Punch TV Studios CEO, Mr. Joseph Collins, in my humble opinion, this Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is going to be noon here in sunny Southern California. So we're looking forward to that show. Now, we do have a special guest today. So before we bring on our guest and before we get started, we are going to stop for a brief commercial break.
I'm Joseph Collins,
CEO of Punch TV Studios. Growing up in South Central Los Angeles, my mother was on welfare. She fought day and night to get off welfare and give her children a better life. She would always say to me, "Son, this is the best that I can do, but you can do better." And I promised that I would do better and that I would be the catalyst for change in our community. Just like I promise you that together we can build a multi-billion dollar media company that brings wealth back to our community, that resurrects blighted areas and puts people back to work. Be part of the promise. Be part of change. Invest in Punch TV Studios for only $1 per share. Call now, 310-419-5914. That's 310-419-5914. Or visit our website at punchtvstudios.com.
Yes, if you're listening to the show, please visit our website at punchtvstudios.com. We are inviting you to be a part of the promise. We're inviting you to be a part of change. So with that said, what we're going to do, we're going to bring on our guest today. We have the honor and the privilege of having Ms. Shawn Urell on the line this morning, and she's in the Punch Bowl joining the conversation. But a little bit about Ms. Urell. She is a life coach, and she is the founder of Be Your Own Art. Be Your Own Art is a life movement, a life walk, BYOA, focuses on unapologetically living your truth. Are you with us this morning, Ms. Urell?
Peace, I am. How are you?
I am excellent. Thank you for joining us in the Punch Bowl.
Thank you for having me.
So you are very, very welcome. Now, A Bottle of Youth and A Bottle of You for Me have been raving about you. They told me that you are someone that I definitely have to meet.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you.
You are welcome. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You can't be shy in a punch bowl. We all have family here. What's going on? Tell us about BYOA.
A little bit more about me. I'm a counselor, special ed teacher, nutritionist, fitness coach, and a life coach. So I do a lot of things, but I do a lot of things that I absolutely love. I'm walking in my purpose, and that's what Be Your Own Art is about. Most of us have a hard time walking in our purpose because of so many limitations, you know, focused on what will people think, how will they feel, I'm too old to do X, Y, Z. But when you are unapologetically just being who it is that you were put here to be, it's just an amazing walk. An amazing walk.
So how does
and when
one
I mean limitations,
find...
limitations such I'm too old, or limitations such as, I've just always had bad relationships. And what Be Your Own Art focuses on is, first of all, mindset shift. You're limitless if you have the mindset to do that, and that goes in all areas of your life, mind, body, and spirit. So that's what I do with, helping people to realize that if you get out of your own way to be all it is that you were put here to be, life is just so much sweeter.
So how do you help someone find what they were put here on this earth to be?
First of all, we've got to get lay the limitations out on the table. I use the slogan called, if we don't face it, we can't fix it. A lot of people are one way out in the street, but then when they get home, they are a hot mess. They're living a facade, and, they put on faces in order to appease society. Or to look a certain way, but their truth is not that. So first of all, getting people to own up to their truth, walk in their truth, working past limitations. Like me personally, I was riddled with codependency for years, which codependency impacted me in every single aspect of my life. And once I was able to first realize that, codependency, work through that. I work through that in therapy. I work through that with reading modalities, with personal work. You really got to do the work and put the actions in place. I work through it from a spiritual perspective, and just was really able to transform and change my life. And like,
what made you realize that you were codependent? I mean, what?
A colleague of mine told me that I was codependent. And then once I took the test and I read this book by Melody Beattie called Codependent No More, and I was really wondering, how the hell did this lady write this book about me and I didn't get any money, no royalties or anything? It was me. Mm-hmm. And just part of being your own art is owning your shit. And when you own your shit, you can change and you can transform and you can walk in your truth and discover what your purpose is. You'll never know what your purpose is if you're living a lie.
What are some of the symptoms or signs that you saw that you were codependent? What was in the book that you said, okay, this is me?
People that are codependent usually are very loving, helpful people, but they do everything for everybody else, and they don't do a lot with self-care. They come last, if at all, not being able to say no, feeling anxious or, you know, just feeling conflicted with saying no to people, knowing in your spirit that, no, I shouldn't do that, or I shouldn't give that person that. I don't want to give them that, but you give it to them anyway because you don't want them to be upset at you. You don't want them to judge you. You don't want them to be upset. But and just really not setting boundaries. So I also, when I work with my clients, I tell them be confident with saying yes to you and no to other people. It is perfectly okay to say no. But most of the time, especially, you know, with your you know, children, you have a hard time with saying no. But you prepare them for real life. And I'm not saying be mean or just be a bitch, but it's okay to set boundaries when you want to set boundaries.
I've never had a counselor come on the show. Most of the people who come on the show, they don't curse. So I've never had a person come on the show and curse, come on the show and curse. No, I mean, hey, it's Blog Talk Radio. We're not governed by the FCC. We keeping it real, and I like honesty. I like real people, and I wanted to hear the symptoms of the codependency because, you know, I'm one of those people that's always self-diagnosing stuff. I always need to know, am I this, am I that? And so I wanted to see the symptoms of codependency to see if I had any of them, and the realization is I definitely am not codependent. I'm one of those people who have always taught my children, you know, I talk a lot about my children on the show. They're now adults, even though they're my babies. They're 20 and 23, you know, and I instilled in them early on the beauty of self-preservation. You know, just like when, you know, my first job out of high school was working for TWA, Trans World Airlines. So I have a lot of travel and airline industry experience, so it's easy for me to relate to. But when you're on a plane and the flight attendants will tell you if a life mask comes down, you always put your life mask over your face first. You know, and you always think if you're traveling with small children that it would make more sense or be more logical to put your children's, you know, mask on first because I love them, I want to protect them. But in all honesty is that especially with very, very small children, if you put, you know, the mask on a 9-month-old, there's no way that 9-month-old is going to be able to put on your mask if you pass
for
out.
So, right.
So you have to put on your mask first.
Making sure you're, and the thing is, you know, it has not changed my giving and me being a very community-oriented person. What it has done, it allows me to keep my cup full. So I have more to give to other people, and I feel replenished. I was I'm also a part-time lifeguard in the summer, and that was a bucket list for me. And that's one thing with me being able to, when I came up with the concept of Be Your Own Art, which I have a book with that as well. I had all of these things I wanted to do, but I felt like I had to take care of everyone else first. So I was like, well, I'll just put my stuff on the back burner, and I did. But once mm-hmm. I was able to get out of my own way, and how I and also not just therapy, I hired my own life coach, and she's mm-hmm. helped me. Every life coach has a life coach. As a matter of fact, Oprah has about I think she has 9 on her team now, but she has had, you know, spiritual life coaches, financial life coaches. A good leader has a life coach or has had several life coaches. So my life coach was able to help me to get out of my own way and reorganize. And what I was saying today, I one of the ladies out of the pool, I just came from lifeguarding. I do something that self-care. I do a few things that are self-care oriented every single day, which includes meditation, how I eat. I'm a very clean eater. I prep my food. I'm very deep into fitness. And so I'm going to get a manicure and pedicure and stuff today. And I told her I'm dropping my son off. She was like, you're not going to take him with me? I said, I don't want anyone with me when I go for my massage or when I get my nails done. That's because that's my time. I don't even like the people talking to me. And it's not me being selfish, but it's me setting boundaries that this is my time. I'll listen to some Audible books while I'm there, and I just don't like being bothered. And it is perfectly okay to say that, because once I finish doing what I need to do, when it's time for his scrimmage today, I am completely replenished. I'm able to give back to other people, but I make sure that I sow into me every single day, every single day. And that's something that most people don't do.
I think not only is it something that most people don't do, I think, you know, I always tell people all the time I'm really sexist. Out of all the things that I am, I'm kind of sexist as far as men and women and that sort of thing. And I think that women especially are if we find it difficult to set boundaries. We always want to take care of the men in our lives. We always want to take care of the children in our lives. So we always tend to come last and put ourselves last. And fortunately, you know, it's not one of those things that I personally have ever suffered with. You know, even our CEO, Mr. Collins, and I, we always joke because I always have this expression where, you know, we're talking and people are talking, and I'm like, you know what, that's nice, but let's get back to me. You know, I what I teach my children is you have to put yourself first. It's self-preservation. That's just life. You have to be able to take care of yourself, because if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be there to be able to take care of other people, and you're not going to be good for anybody else. So you definitely have to take care of yourself, and you have to be able to put yourself first. But the thing is that I've noticed, and that I really definitely want to applaud you, is that what I found, and especially, you know, hosting radio shows for years, is that most people may be able to identify that they are codependent, or that they're not putting themselves first, but they don't have what it takes to overcome it. They kind of know it, they acknowledge it, but for somebody to actually take the steps and to actually create the boundaries, you know, I find people know that they don't have boundaries. You know, but they don't say, okay, I deserve to have boundaries. I have a right to have boundaries, and let me put these boundaries in place.
That's where the thing is, a lot of us know, people know they have an alcohol problem, they know they have a drug addiction, they know they have a sex addiction or a shopping addiction, but a limitation, fear, that four-letter word riddles people, and they just become settled and complacent with, well, it just is what it is. And they don't think that they are deserving of more. They don't think that their life is able to move directly in the direction that they – we are the creator and designer of our life. But most of us don't realize that power. One of the books that I'm finishing up is The Secret, and I finished up The Alchemist not too long ago.
I love The Alchemist. I love The Alchemist. Yes, I do. I didn't mean to interrupt, but one of the main, and The Alchemist, like you mentioned Oprah Winfrey, The Alchemist is one of her favorite books, and it's one of my favorite books because I was even talking about that on my social media the other day, one of the keys to success. And even though it's a little different how I phrased it, but it was definitely from The Alchemist, because one of the keys to success is being fluid, being adaptable, being able to say that, it's God's will. This is the will right now. It may change. Something else may happen, but this is the way it is right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, it can always change, and we are the creator and designer. It all boils back to your mindset. If you have an inkling of a doubt that, I think it'll change, then guess what the universe is going to give you? Your wish is my command. I think it'll change. So you're going to lay in that. If you know it will change, then your actions and your mindset, your energy, your frequency will all bring you what you ask for. If you know it will change, it will change. Just like, for instance, I don't know if a bottle of you shared with you my transformation pictures. I recently did a figure model competition at the age of 46 in February. Well, I have had 5 abdominal surgeries, 3 C-sections, a appendectomy, and hernia surgery. And when you see my body, it's on some B shit. But I wasn't over. I came from 153 to 111, rock hard muscle, and I competed and placed 2nd and 4th, my first figure model competition. The lady that trained me, she was like, well, just get in and have fun. That wasn't my mindset. My mindset was, I'm walking away with a damn trophy, and that's that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put my all into this, and I did. And I've really been able to, a lot of other people that, they say, well, I would like to do that, but there is no but. Do it. Put in the action.
I don't want to be one of those people. I'm kind of feeling that Howard Stern vibe right now for some reason, because I'm finding it hard to believe that you were codependent. I mean, you came on this show and you just
I'm putting down your
foot and keeping it real, and then you telling me this story of this little codependent passive woman who could not set boundaries. And I'm finding that kind of hard to believe.
I've never been passive. I've never been passive. That was never me. I was never passive. But when it came to certain relationships, and generally it was the ones that were closest to me, there was an issue. See, I grew up with a grandmother who was a matriarch of the family, but my grandmother did everything for everyone and to her own demise. So when she... before she passed, she had Alzheimer's / psychological problems because she held everything in. How she felt if she didn't want to do something, but she did it anyway because she felt that she had to save the family. She was a family saving grace. So I took on a lot of my grandmother's traits because I just have always been a helper. But passive, see, a person that's codependent, it doesn't mean that they're passive. It means that they have a hard time, and it doesn't mean it's in all relationships. Some people can be passive, aggressive. Some people, because my ex-husband is passive, aggressive, and codependent. But I am a leader. I hold 4 degrees. I have always been, out front and handled my business. But when it came to especially some relationships, with my children or with the opposite sex, then it was a problem. Now, I do know before I came out of my my last marriage, that's when I realized I was codependent, and I knew I had to the metaphor that I use, because I love butterflies, was that I was a butterfly whose wings had weights on them. And I knew I wanted to fly. I knew I had to fly, but I had to break away, and especially he was codependent. And he wasn't willing to shift or change. Most of the time we focus on, and see, people that are codependent, we feel like we can fix everything. So I can fix this person. I can love him and get him where I need him to be. But the only person you can change is you. And once I came to that realization, I had to go. Butterfly had to take them weights off and do what I had to do. I still have love for him as a human being. However, I had to fly, and that's what I've been doing ever since.
No, that's wonderful. And again, I'm listening to you talk about people and codependency. And I've always, you know, I've been married and divorced twice, and I always say that, you know, some women need to learn how to leave, you know. And my lesson has always been to learn how to stay in just about every aspect of my life, from relationships to jobs, because it's so easy for me to say, what? This doesn't work? Okay, cool, I'm out, you know, and just on to the next one. Do that whole Elizabeth Taylor, I've been married 15 times kind of thing. Because it's so easy for me to say, no, this doesn't work for me. You know, it doesn't mean that it doesn't work, period, or that it doesn't work for you, but it just simply doesn't work for me. So what I had to do was to learn how to make better decisions going into relationships so that I would know what I was dealing with and what I was willing to accept before the marriage or before I went too far into the relationship, because it's never been a problem for me to let go or to walk away from anything in my life. And I think part of that was because, you know, I'm a daddy's girl. I love my dad, and my dad spoiled me, and then my dad also really took care of my mother. You know, my mother never pumped gas. My dad always made sure her car was full. He made sure her car was washed. He made sure she didn't have to worry about anything financially. He's also a handyman, so he did all the repairs and all the work around the house. Mm-hmm. You know, so if a guy doesn't treat me in the same manner, then I have an issue. And not that many men that I met are like my dad. So I'm like, I'm cool.
We dictate how a person treats us. And see, I came from a divorce family. When I speak of limitations, a lot of our limitations form as children. So being from a divorce family, and I'm very close to my dad, I started to gather abandonment issues. So I felt that I had to stay in relationships because, you know, my parents were divorced, and I just wasn't going to raise my children in a divorce situation. And even if it was unhealthy, I stayed longer than I should have, because just like I'm married for the third and final time. But part of being your own art, what I did was when I was going through my transformation, I put up a list in my mirror of my soulmate's qualities. And I read the list, and I read my list, which my list was a list of the qualities that I was going to have. Even if I didn't have them all or I needed to tweak some, I put together that list. And I read over both twice a day and prayed and meditated over them. Well, I got my God, man. I got the man that I meditated and prayed over, because I changed my mindset. And I no longer was accepting or feeling like, well, I can work with that. I can work with anymore. But when you, you know, when you have abandonment issues or limitations, which that's what Be Your Own Art helps you to get past. Once I got past my limitations, I said, well, no, this is not going to no longer be my truth. I began to change how I looked at relationships, what I would or would not, you know, deal with. And my husband is the one that I don't do any of that stuff anymore. In my past marriage, you know, I mowed the lawn. My husband worked, but, you know, I did a lot of the physical stuff. And a bottle of youth can tell you that, you know, I work on cars, you know. But that was from being raised with eight uncles, which I love the hands-on thing, but my husband won't allow me to do any of that because I don't have to.
No, that's beautiful.
And now
brings up the conversation, because the bottle of youth and the bottle of youth for me, we're discussing that on one of the shows, I think last week, you know, the whole third marriage thing. And it just seems kind of ironic that everyone on the line, all our hosts, co-hosts, everybody, this is basically, you know, it's like the third time's a charm.
God is trying to tell you something.
That's Lord.
Remember that song?
Yes.
I'm so happy for my girlfriend.
because she's the best woman I know. If I could grow up to be anything like her,
We haven't had trouble hearing you guys. I think
there
the radio's on,
there.
And I can't hear
there.
A bottle of
okay,
juice for me.
Better? No?
You still have some feedback. Can you hear me?
Are you with us?
Yes, I'm with us.
You're with us.
I'm with
just
you.
Take, yeah.
I'm with you.
All right, give me 1 second. Let me set her phone up. We're using hers today instead of mine. Bluetooth, there you go.
I can hear you clearly.
There we go.
I feel like I got the best voice in radio.
If you do say so yourself.
You're right.
Thank you so much, Mr. Collins.
Don't mean to toot my own horn, but, you know.
Well, Mr. Collins
nope.
said, as Betty Collins, his mother, would say, there's a poor dog that don't wag his own tail.
You should toot your own horn.
Well, I told you about my ego song, the, you know, the Beyonce, Kanye West thing. You know, we kind of live by that. And I definitely wanted to give an open congratulations to Ms. Ural. Out of all my wise friends over the years, she has stuck by her side. And I've always told my wife, you know, out of all of her friends that she had, that that's the one I wanted her to keep in her life.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
and she's done
mm-hmm.
that. I mean, the ones that were there just for a season, that's what they were. They were just there for a season. You know, they didn't call to see how my wife was doing or check up on her. And Miss Ural always done that. You know, she would always, it's not, you know, every 6 months or whatever. It's just when she felt it was the time to do so.
Exactly.
And that's what I appreciate about her. And I appreciate, I've always appreciated her work ethic. And I tried to push my wife that way, and now you see she's on the radio.
Yes.
I just want to say, this is just a small portion of what Sean has to offer. He has been a mentor and an aid to parents with children with special needs. Parents with children that are, you know, school age and adult children with special needs.
We called her.
Brilliant.
Yeah, my oldest daughter is an adult with persuasive developmental disorder. That's why because my first career was in radio and television, and I career switched to special education to properly advocate for my daughter. So I'm also a special education advocate. I've won a due process and a Lord have mercy. I've won a few cases. One with the city of Chesapeake and one with the city of Norfolk, one for on my daughter's behalf and one for another client, because you know, a lot of times they make these IEPs cookie cutter, and people are not cookie cutter people, so you need to address their specific needs point blank period. Individualized education program, and that's where you level the playing field. If a child need special accommodations in a classroom, you have to write those accommodations and follow them based on what that, and that is a federal law. It's the same if you go to Washington as if you go to Hawaii. So you have to follow and make sure that that child has what they need. And then let's say a child that may need assistive technology, such as an aid to take notes for them, or a listening device, or my daughter had a computer in the classroom that went with her, a laptop, as well as accommodations such as being able to take your test in another setting, being able to, you know, take longer to take a test, having a test read aloud to you. These are accommodations that, you know, you have to do testing and so on to see if, you know, what needs a child has. But a lot of parents, because they are intimidated by usually when they have these IEP meetings or these child study team meetings, when the school system comes to the table, they come with a whole table full of people. And usually the parent is sitting there and they're intimidated. They hand you these parent rights, which is like this big law book full of, you know, a bunch of law jargon. And most parents don't crack open the book and don't have a clue that they don't have a clue. So a lot of times mm-hmm. they allow the school system to navigate their child's life. And my daughter has a college degree, graduated with a 3.8 GPA. This is a child who was a 1-pound preemie with autism, mental health issues, and by all accounts, should, and she has hydrocephalus, so she's had 12 brain surgeries. By all accounts,
oh, wow,
typically, she should be, you know, basically someone just telling her what to do, how to do it, and she works at the YMCA. She's going to be going to get her four-year degree at Norfolk State. But what I was able to do, even in college, I leveled the playing field for her. I took the IEP. I sat down with the disability counselors. They had to give her all of her notes for classes. She went to the testing center to take her test. She did the work. I didn't do the work for her, but all I did was level the playing field. But that's because she wanted it as well. But I started off, you know, from the very beginning. You're not going to set my child over in the corner because she's acting up or because she learns differently. You're going to give her what she needs, how she needs it, and you're going to bring you basically bring the IEP makes them bring the materials to the children in the way that fits them and in the way that they mm-hmm. can grasp the material. So she's doing well. She still has her struggles, and even as an adult, I still, on the power of attorney, I still have to navigate, you know, a lot of things for her, but I have given her the strategies needed to, you know, to do some of it on her own, but I'm still, you know, I still have to navigate some of the things for her. But with all accounts, she should not be in the position that she's in. You know, if I had the mindset that, because I remember the doctors told me she's not going to walk or talk. And I was looking out the window, and they said, you have to pay attention to Ms. Ure. You have to understand she's not going to walk or talk. And I said, well, you don't know the God I know, and you don't know her mother. So that's not going to happen to her. And it hasn't. Yes.
All right. Just listen to the story you told about your daughter. And I wanted to point out, and I'm glad we're on the radio doing this, and it's being you know, covered across America, because folks don't realize, and the question I have for you is, why don't they realize that in the Black community that we do have a lot of Stephen Hawkins, you know, folks that are challenged, you know, and have a beautiful mind, but they're not offered the opportunity just because of that IEP that you just spoke about, because not being in place for them?
Well, it's not just the Black community. It's across the board. I have had clients of all races. The thing is that when, like I said, when the school system comes to you, a lot of parents, they don't know what their rights are. They don't know that they can say, hey, I don't want to meet with you right now. Let me go get assistance. They just don't know that there's help out there to help them navigate so that their child can get what they need to get. And that goes across. I've had Caucasian parents. I've had all races. It's not just a Black thing. It's a special needs thing. A lot of parents, first of all, a lot of parents who have children with special needs, they stress the hell. They don't understand. They're in denial. They are feeling hopeless. A lot of them feel, why me? And I went through all of those emotions. But the analogy that I give is that I had to take the deck of cards that God gave me, and I had to play the best hand of spades I could. And because I got a poker face, and because, you know, I'm able to navigate some things and kind of intimidate my opponent if I needed to, then I did what I had to do. But it's not just a Black thing. A lot of parents with children with special needs just feel like, why me? I don't know what to do. Just, why was I given this? All it is an opportunity to slow down, you know, look at other resources, find those resources, but you have so many rights. And there are special ed advocates all over the country in every state. It's not funded by the school system. A lot of times you just have to Google us and you'll find us. Most of them, you know, I charge. I have done some cases for free, but it's really worth it for your child. It is worth it because,
now,
like I said,
my
daughter is in a better place. Yes.
Now, my question for you is, what is your thoughts on medication or the over-medication? Because one of the things that you mentioned is that the school system tends to want to just put a child in the corner and forget about them. But, I mean,
The school system can't tell you your child needs to be on medication. If a teacher tells you that, you need to take that information and go report them, because they can't do that. They can't do that. I don't have a problem with medication, but I do look at trying to push the herbal route, trying to behavior modification is a really big thing. You have to make sure that a lot of times the household is in shambles. The parents are a mess, and then they want the child to act accordingly. And you're talking about a child with ADHD, ADD, with a bunch of behavior problems. But if the parents are off the chain, children will be off the chain too.
It may not only be just the school system. It may just be the doctors. You know, a lot of doctors, to me, in my experience, and I do have friends who have children with disability. I have a friend who has a child with ADHD. And it just seems, in my experience and what I've watched, is that doctors are just – instead of like kind of, I don't know, but they just medicate these kids.
Well, the thing is that it's not all doctors either. My pediatrician is a holistic doctor first. She's a regular pediatrician, but what she will approach parents with, first of all, she checks for candida, which is the overabundance of yeast. She will ask parents to take away processed foods, stop giving the children so many canned foods, try to look at a more whole food diet, because candida gives the same look as ADD and ADHD. Now, I'm not saying that all children have candida, but she does. She personally looks at trying to look at what is it with the food? Is it the food? Mm-hmm. Is it, you know, what's the structure like? Trying to get the children in some positive programming. So you have to – it's a holistic approach. I did all that with my daughter. It just was not one thing. I ended up having to do medication with her, but we did that in conjunction with everything else. And the thing is that what parents don't realize is that I regulate the medication too. So if it's something that I'm not liking, I'm going to go back to the doctor, and we're going to have a conversation, and we're going to work something out differently. Parents have to open up their damn mouths, point blank, period. And I'm not saying go be – because, see – now, there's a difference. There's a nasty parent that comes to the teacher and wants to fight the teacher, because I've had parents to come to me like that too. You have to go and be proactive. You have to go and know your stuff. You have to go and be a willing participant to say, hey, what can we do to make my child's life better? What can we do to make their experience in school better? What can we do so that way all of us have a better experience and my child's not giving you hell in this classroom every day? They have to, and you have to be active as well. So I cannot, because see, the thing is, I'm on all sides. I'm the parent, I'm the counselor, and I'm especially a teacher. So we have to look at everything. It's not just one side. It's not just on the doctors. It's not just on the teachers. It's not just on the school system.
Is that a bother you for me?
I know that's me. That's
good point. One of the things I was sitting here thinking about when Ms. Euro was talking was we've had several friends in the county who have special needs children, and the difference between our household and theirs. We would put on something like the Discover Channel, or we would have, our son watch NASA, whereas some of the other homes would have the Cartoon Network, things that's not necessarily making them smarter, you know, in a limited space of knowledge. They get the chance, you know, to get smart. I feel like instead of putting some of the non-essential things in front of them, put things like this informational things that they can actually learn from while they're actually sitting in that room going through whatever they're going through, but they still occasionally will look up to the TV for information, and that's what we found with our son. So it was a time in our house where you watched NASA for 4 hours a day, and when you came home from school, you did your work, then you had 4 hours of NASA you had to watch.
That's interesting. That's definitely interesting. But, you know, I think more than anything else, it shows as a parent that you didn't want to just put your child in front of the television. And I think one way or another, a lot of parents use the television, use the technology to watch children and to babysit children as opposed to allowing them to learn something. We talked about it on a previous show. My parents basically refused to answer any questions I had. Everything they told me, go get it, you know, go read the Encyclopedia Britannica. Whereas now, you know, when I was raising my children, when they ask me questions, I tell them Google it, research it, look up the information so that they can stretch their brains instead, stretch their knowledge. And so watching the Discovery Channel and seeing more information that is informative, I think that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, and you know what, and the thing is, school systems are different. Even here in the 757, I'm in Virginia, it is a difference with the Norfolk Public School System, and it is a difference with Virginia Beach and Chesapeake. You know, and it depends on the socioeconomic regions of those particular school systems as to what the difference you get with the school system. Virginia Beach school system is one of those ones that they are a little bit more arrogant towards parents when it comes to, well, this is what we say, and the parent comes and says, no, well, this is what it's going to be. Because I've had to work with parents to fight Virginia Beach public school system. But Virginia Beach and Chesapeake don't like due processes, and they don't. And what that is that is a action from on the state level that parents can file to go against an action for a child that's based on a special education particular need or problem. So they don't like that stuff. School systems aren't looked at favorable if you have due processes that were done and they were ruled against you. That doesn't look good when federal dollars start coming down. And when they start looking at IDEA, which is the federal special education law, that doesn't look favorable on their end, and they don't like that. So they try to keep that low-key and try to resolve matters, but that's where parents have to be proactive, and you have to be willing to work together, because the child is the person that suffers when everybody isn't on the same page.
So as a counselor, what type of counseling do you do? Do you work with the parents? Do you work with the children? Do you work with the family as a whole?
I'm a QMHP, Qualified Mental Health Practitioner. I have some adult cases and I have children cases. So when we're working with the children, well, we work with all of that. So if I have a case working with a particular child, I'm working with that parent, and sometimes I have to work with the whole family. When I have adults, generally the adults that have children have parenting issues. So I have to work with the children as well as the whole family. But the difference in what I do, I work with them from out of their homes.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of them coming to an office to see me, I work with them in their environment where they're comfortable. They don't feel out. Most people are their natural self in their own environment.
Mm-hmm.
More so than when they come into an office and they kind of put on a face.
Mm-hmm. So when you go into their house, what are some of the first things that you do? Because I know you don't walk in there and go, girl, you a hot mess. Let me fix this. So how do you explain to them that they're a hot mess?
Well, I mean, the thing is just like, for instance, I don't call children bad. I say you make bad choices. So before we go into the home, we have worked on an initial ISP, so we know what things they need to work on. And see, the thing is, I take the approach, if you want to be a better person, you got to own your shit. So if these are things you want to work on, I'll have parents that say, you know what, I really want to get my GED. I don't want to continue to live out here in the project like my mother did or like my grandmother did. I really want better. So we've got to face some shit so we can fix it. But in doing that, we're going to have to get down and dirty. So I don't approach anybody with, anytime you point the finger at people and you say you back them up in a corner, and then they become like a pit bull, and then they come out at you. But if you take the approach, look, I'm here for you, but I'm not going to work harder than you. I'm going to help teach you strategies, but we're going to do this together, but you have to do the work. So it's just like life coaching. We take the same approach, but they got to do the work. I'm going to help navigate you through what you need, but I'm not going to work harder than you. So if you're supposed to go to a parent-child meeting and it's right around the corner and you can't get up in the morning to go to the parent-child meeting, it's a problem. I'm not going to go for you. Now, if I have to go sit at the table to assist you with something that you're having a problem with at the school, that's one thing. But if you're just too lazy, you say you want better, but you won't do better, that's a problem.
Now, when you go into the homes, is this at the request of the parents, or is this at the request of like a government institution that brings you in?
It's different ways. Sometimes, we have a few CPS cases. Sometimes they're court cases. And all of our clients have Medicaid, so, sometimes it's through hospitalizations that they've had, probation, and sometimes it's, the person just wants something, they want better. And usually it's a referral, you've worked with another client in the community or a friend or something, and they say, look, hey, I see such and such is really doing big things. I want what they want. I want what they have. Helping clients to get a job and to move out of that neighborhood to just change their lives. So it comes
absolutely
in different form.
Absolutely. So for the people who are listening and they would like to speak with you, where can they find out more information about you and what you have going on?
Well, you can get at me at bit.ly/beyourownart. I also have a website, www.beyourownart.org, and you can just get at me. I have a plethora of expertise because I really do. I walk in my purpose, and my purpose happens to be in a few different directions, but it's all focused on assisting and helping people to be all that it is that they were put here to be.
A plethora of information. I absolutely love it. So we have a few minutes to the show. Just can you briefly, if there's anything that you want to make sure our listeners take away from the show, can you just please reiterate that and reinforce that for our listeners briefly?
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to – something from The Alchemist. Whatever it is that you want, the universe will conspire to help you to have it. I've paraphrased it. But pretty much that means if you really want to just capture everything that you want in life, you have to change your mindset and you have to be willing to put the action in place. But once you connect with the universe and you really have that proactive, positive mindset that I am going to have whatever it is that I want, and it's not being arrogant. Whatever it is that you want, the universe will give you that. For instance, if when you walk around, you wake up in the morning and you say, I'm tired. Oh, my God, I'm just so stressed. What happens the rest of your day? You're tired and
you're
stressed.
You're going to be tired.
And you're stressed. Or every time I talk to her, she gets on my nerves. Your wish is my command. Your wish is your command. That will come to you. Every time you interact with that person, you're going to feel those feelings. So one thing that I want the listeners to really focus on, it begins with you. It's not from the outside in. It starts from the inside out. And if you do want to be all that it is that you were put here to be, being your own art is a good approach in order to do that. And I'm here. I do virtual work, but it starts with you. And you can get with me at bit.ly/beyourownart.
But we definitely want to thank you for joining us, Ms. Shiro, on today's show. We would also love to invite you to Punch TV Studios' social media network. which is nabuki.com, N-A-B-U-K-I-E.com, and it is the house that a bottle of youth and a bottle of youth for me run. So you'll see a bottle of youth all over Nabuki. But we have Nabuki so that not only we can stay on top of everything that is happening at Punch TV Studios, but that we can keep in touch with the people that we network with, the people around us, the people that we support and who support us. On Nabuki, you can create your own fan page. You can create your own group, be your own art group, or be your own art fan page so more people can find you and stay on in contact with you. So we would love to invite you to do that. Again, that's Nabuki, N-A-B-U-K-I-E. com. Also wanted to invite you to join us at Punch TV Studios. What we're doing is we're changing the world. We created this company to, first of all, create movies and stories from the lives of ordinary people, but to create jobs and to create generational wealth. And we're going to produce over 300 new feature films and television shows over the next 4 years post-IPO, and we definitely want to be you to be a part of that. So we know that some people have not been able to, for whatever reason, to invest in the company. So what we've done is we've allowed them the opportunity to get free stock in the company. So that's something that you might want to do as well. If you visit our website at PunchTVStudios.com, you can get free stock in Punch TV Studios, or go ahead and invest at only $1 per share and help us, join us, help Punch TV Studios, help a bottle of youth, help a bottle of youth for me, change the world, because that's what we're doing. We're changing the world together.
Ashe. And I like when you say it, we are going to.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't say we are going to try over the next few years. That is a very positive mindset. And when you say and you set those intentions, that's what's going to happen, because you've already told the universe that you're going to do what? Make over 300.
We're going to change the world.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Well, I really appreciate all of you all for allowing me to be a part of this today.
Well, thank you. A bottle of youth for me. Give you a couple of minutes. Words.
Well, we love you, Sean. We raised.
I love you all more.
We raised 3 special needs children on our own. Thank God they had a second mother like Mook Sean. She's been doing big things forever. She started the school, Coos Dakalia. I can't express enough gratitude to her for being on here today, and can only hope we can get some more information out of her at a later date.
I'll be here. Absolutely.
So we want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in to our very special TGIF Friday's episode of Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO, Mr. Joseph Collins, and your co-host, Sharifa Hardy. We have had a very, very special guest on today's show, Ms. Shawn Ural. Go ahead and check her out. She gave you her website. Look for Be Your Own Art, and we're going to look for Be Your Own Art and Sean on Nabuki. Until next time, we will be back on Monday with another special show. Have a wonderful weekend, and we're out.
Thank you for listening to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins. Tune in Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time as we continue to change the conversation in contemporary media. To be a guest or to share your thoughts on changing the conversation, visit nabuki.com today. Don't miss out on the opportunity to be a part of the company that's revolutionizing media. Visit punchtvstudios.com to become a part owner at $1 per share.